it's anybody's guess. Ain't no good reason for getting all depressed.
Is this,
buy up your pad and pencil. I give you a piece of my mind.
Oh, it's Greg's trying to recall.
It's not Family Matters.
No.
The sun is gonna surely shine.
Oh, God, what is this? Oh, I know it.
Stop all your fussing. Slap on a smile. Come out and walk.
It's some stupid, horrible 80s show. I'm not gonna look. I'm trying to figure it out.
I covered up the title. You can see the... You probably know as soon as you look.
And in my opinionation,
I remember that opinionation. I remember that particular verbiage. I remember hating it and thinking it was terrible.
That was the Blossom theme.
Blossom! Whoa! Okay. Blossom. Yeah.
Yep. I just remembered it was one of those good, annoying themes.
I don't know about good. Annoying, yes.
I wonder if there's going to be a resurgence on, like, great 1 minute, 30 second TV intros.
No. Absolutely not. The theme song is sort of a lost genre. There are a few shows that have it, but most of them are very short. It's not the same way where it was like a minute or a minute and a half of the show.
HBO shows still keep long theme songs, and they drive me insane.
Yeah.
Like, you're watching for like, well, it seems like 12 and a half minutes. You're like True Bloods is... Oh, it's agonizing.
Oh, yeah. True Blood is annoying. Sopranos had a long theme song.
The Newsroom.
Although the True Blood had a good theme. Has a good theme. I don't know whether it's... is Salon True Blood?
Yeah, what's
I imagine.
That?
I guess True Blood Salon's boobs, right? Yeah.
The Newsrooms was agonizingly long.
I never watched the Newsrooms, so I wouldn't even know anything about it.
The one I did like was the theme song on Weeds, you know, the Little Boxes song.
Little Boxes. And Little Boxes is a good song.
It's a good song. For the final, you know, the last couple seasons, they just did the Lost type thing, just a really quick, they always showed the pot leaf and the, you know, created by Kenji, you know, Johan or whatever his name is. But for the last season, they brought back Little Boxes, but they had a bunch of different people do it every week.
I thought they did that for like the second and third season too.
Yeah, they did too.
The very first Weeds I watched was, I think it was either the second or, it was the second season or third season, an episode called MILF Weed. It was terrible episode.
I remember talking about this, yeah.
And yet the theme song for that episode was awesome. I that was the one thing that got me jazzed was, wow. I mean, the version of the theme song, I didn't realize it was a different version of an original one. But it was fantastic. I was like, wow, that's a great theme song and clever, and I like the idea behind it, and, you know, it's interesting. And then I found out that you know, it's based on this old folk song that's sort of criticizing capitalism and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so I started listening to some of the other ones. That's a really fun theme song, but the show sucks.
Well, I was watching the second episode. You know, they came back. They had the new like for the final season. It was the video of the intro was like hand drawing out season one's arc, season's two arc, season three arc, season four arc. Like, so you could kind of like so you could remember back, like, oh yeah, she was in jail. Oh yeah, she was down in San Diego, whatnot. And the second season, you know, I'm like, oh, it's not a girl singing, it's a guy singing. And at the very end, it struck that, oh, that's Ben Folds, you know, and I really like Ben Folds, you know, and I didn't notice it at first, but just a certain way he sang something towards the end, like, and then I went and looked, and like, yeah, they have different people lined up for.
He sang it like Brick, is what you're saying.
No.
I don't like Ben Folds. I like to bug Jeff about it. It's sort of the way that on the Nerdist, they always bug Matt and Myra about him loving, what's his name? The Ants Marching guy.
Dave Matthews,
yeah. Oh, God.
He has a new album just came out, Dave Matthews. And so does Ben Folds 5.
Yeah, I know. And the amount I care is, I mean, put it on the Who Gives a Shit channel, because...
Nah, that's okay. Stuff. Yeah.
There's a science story that was kind of interesting. Let me see if I can find it. See if you can
fill. See if I can fill some dead air when I was the one that's severely deficient on content this week. You know what? You know, it may sound like my life sucks so bad. Yesterday I did have some fun with the kids. We went out to a farmer's market and did the pumpkin patch thing, and that was fun. Allison was looking for the perfect pumpkin.
And, of course she was.
And it was funny. Of course, you know, she found what she thought was the perfect pumpkin about a half mile from where the tractor picks you up. And it was a big pumpkin.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to diffuse the situation and say, hey, look at all these pumpkins, because there's another patch. Like, we walked the second patch back towards the pickup point. Like, I bet you there's a better pumpkin down there.
What did Max think of the pumpkin patch experience?
He liked riding on the hayride with the tractor and everything.
Sure.
It was funny. We rode up on one tractor, rode back on a different tractor. You know, there was two tractors going. And when we got on the hayride cart, the tractor had all its windows open. You know, they flip up, you know. And when the guy started driving, he closed all the windows. Max noticed this. So when we were riding back down, the guy driving the other tractor didn't close the back window. It was flipped up. And Max is like, close the window. It's funny the things that the dude picks up. And his vocabulary stuns me. I'm sure it's normal for all second kids, where they just pick up stuff so much faster. But it was about a month ago. I think I might have said this on the show. They left school, dropped Ellie off like first day of school, and Max was mad. He actually verbalized and said to Heather, "Leave me alone, Mom. I miss Ellie." He didn't want Mom to talk to him because he wanted to pout about Allie being away.
Right. He's grown up only around Allie, so that makes sense.
But him putting together that sentence is what was shocking.
Okay, here's an interesting thing. They finally solved the baryon density problem, or at least come close to solving it, which is that they found a huge amount of interstellar gas outside of the Milky Way galaxy.
Okay.
So enough gas to solve the missing baryon problem. Now, you might think, wait, does this count for dark matter? No. Dark matter is not at all a part of this, but. So we figured out, surmised via equations and other stuff, that that galactic matter and all that other stuff should be about 4% of the entire matter energy budget in the universe, and we can only find about 2% in galaxies, and we found the rest now floating in massive interstellar hot clouds between galaxies. So there is actually a large amount of gas floating between an intergalactic space.
Okay.
Very interesting discovery. Mm-hmm. We can only find it because we now have the tools to do so. So what does that say? Like I said, does not account for dark matter at all, so don't start thinking that. However, it does account for baryon deficiency.
Okay.
Baryons are the particles that are made from three quarks. They are, for example, protons and neutrons are baryons. Protons are two ups and a down. Neutrons are two downs and an up.
Hey, did you know there was a meteor shower this month?
There's always a meteor shower of some kind.
Draconids?
Yeah, the big ones are the Leonids and the Perseids. Those are the big ones. What about the comet? Have you read about the comet?
I have not read about the comet.
There's a comet that...
It's going to destroy Earth?
No, there's a comet that could be one of the...
A comet to watch in 2013. Yes. I just read about it.
There's a comet, I forget what it's called, but there's a comet that around 2013, to really 2014 is when it really should be.
Named Iceland.
it should be, it may be, they don't know, because it could break up and destroy itself, but it'll come very close to the sun, which should make it be very bright. Now, when it's close to the sun, it'll be too close to really be, the haze will be caught, but when it comes out, if it's still together and it still holds together as we think it might, then it would be a big, huge long tail that would be even brighter than Venus. So it would be a spectacular sight, something that is unheard of in modern history.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. So I just saw some pictures here of Endeavor on the back of the shuttle carrier.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me, you know, you were bragging about how awesome your Google Foo was not so long ago. So I posed you a query.
Oh, I forgot completely about that.
Because I looked for some information.
That's right. You asked me some weird question. I was like, what the hell are you talking about? And you said, I'm talking about something. I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess so. I'll get to that later. And I forgot completely about it.
I was trying to figure out how much it costs. I had two questions. One of them was, if they landed the shuttle on the West Coast, you know, when it came in because there was bad weather in Kennedy.
Yeah.
Cape Canaveral. How much did it cost, and how much did it cost, and how many stops did it take to get it ferried back to Cape Canaveral?
Interesting question.
I wasn't able to find.
I imagine he took one stop, so it's a straight way, or two stops. I
think it's like six stops.
Really?
I think it's 4 to 6 stops.
Well, I mean,
I know it's more than two stops.
Really?
Yeah. It stops a lot.
I guess because it's a lot of burns weight. A lot of fuel. Yeah.
But I couldn't find the answer, and I probably spent about 10 minutes Googling, and like, hey, Greg said he had amazing Google Foo. Let me use him as my search engine.
Well, if I do Google Foo right now, then it would take time, and that would not be good for the show.
Sure. And then the other one was just the cost, because people were talking about the cost of taking Endeavor to
the... And the cost is kind of relative, isn't it?
And I think the Science Center was paying for a lot of it, or the grants, or
whatever. What was interesting is they had to cut down a lot of trees. They have to cut down a lot of trees and remove a lot of poles, because in order to bring it to the science center from the airport, they have to. The only way they can do it is across roadways.
It's through Inglewood. They had to cut down. Was it 400 or was it 1,000?
It was something like that. But they pledged
but
put four times as many trees. But
these are mature trees.
Yeah.
And like in areas that don't have any green space.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a real bummer for these poor areas that have no green space to lose these huge shade trees that shade the avenue, you know? Bummer, but I was thinking, I guess the shuttle's too big to, like, drop in with a skyhook or something. You couldn't...
Yep. I mean, you could probably do it. You could probably, if you coordinated, I don't know, 15, 16 helicopters together, you could probably pull it. That's a lot
to do. You can't coordinate. I don't think you could, like, even tether two Chinooks together and make it work.
Yeah. No, it had to be a coordinated effort that would all be... you couldn't tether them, because tethering them would cause too much instability and would cause the whole thing to fall down, especially if there were, you know, conditions that you didn't expect. But if you were to train everyone super, super great, but I mean...
How much does the space shuttle weigh? Let's see. 165,000
pounds. 165,000
pounds? Empty, yeah. Next question. How much can a Chinook helicopter lift?
Okay.
Look at that. Google is awesome with predicting my questions.
So you have, you know, something like, what, 70 pounds, 70 tons? 700 tons? 7,000 tons. 7,000 tons.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's not right, is it? 165,000 pounds. A ton is 2,000 pounds. So, actually, you're talking about 82,000 tons.
73 tons.
What?
146,000 divided by 2,000.
No, divided by 2.
A ton isn't 2 pounds. It's 2,000 pounds.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Damn, beer. So 73 tons is still freaking crazy. And then let's see. Talk.
Let's see. There is a thing about stuff. Well, I actually had something interesting, but I'm trying to find where
I know it how was. Much that the I know a Chinook weighs 46,000 pounds, but I don't know how much it can lift. And actually, the Chinook's not the heaviest lifting helicopter in the world. There's a Russian one that can lift more.
Someone asked a question on Reddit about. Okay.
Why are you so gay? No.
No, that was not the question. However, like I said, I believe it, that gayness is a spectrum, not a yes or no question out of one or zero. So I would peg myself at 2 to 5%. That's about right. How about you?
Yeah. How gay am I? So. How do you quantify that? Is it just
a good question.
Is it just the urge of having sex with a man, or is it like liking things that are stereotypically gay?
I think it's sort of like is there any level to what you're kind of sort of attracted to that sort of masculinity?
Oh yeah, it'd be really low.
It'd be low, but it's still there, right? It's not zero.
Yeah, you know, I would much rather watch Heather have a lesbian interaction than me have a homosexual interaction. Oh, God,
yes. No question about it. And yet there is something kind of fascinating about a well-sculpted male body.
Yeah, but I don't want to stick
typically have its privates covered, but...
You know, there's yes. Okay, so that's interesting, right? Like, yeah, something fascinating about a well-sculpted male body, but I don't want to stick my dick in it.
Yes. No, but there's a fascination aspect to it. And I think that counts for a small percentile.
Right.
Someone asked a question on Reddit, a very simple question, which I answered. But they were asked, it was a question about the speed of light, and they're asking why is the human concept of time so connected with light particles? I never understood that. Why can't something which goes faster than light just go faster than light? Now, I recognize that as what the person is asking is why is light what we compare everything to? And so what I explained to them was that it's not about light particles or photons. They happen to move at this speed that we call C. But calling something C is kind of reductive and it's hard to define. So we call it the speed of light because light also moves at that speed. But it's more properly defined as the speed of information, and it's best defined as simply a constant called C. Light moves at that speed, information moves at that speed, or can maximally move at that mm-hmm. speed. But it's not that we define everything based on light. It's we define everything based on C, which you can actually prove that C is the maximum speed allowed by the universe with a few assumptions and relatively simple algebra and geometry. As long as you... Like I said, you know, assume four-dimensional space and deal with geodesics as opposed to straight lines. But it's pretty easy to prove, and the best book I would say to explain this in a comprehensive way is a book called Why Does E Equals MC Squared by Brian Cox. And if you read that book, you'll understand. And the hardest equation in there is the Pythagorean theorem, and that's all you have to use to figure out why C is the maximum speed and what it is and why E squared equals M squared C to the fourth plus P squared C squared, which is the real equation. E equals MC squared is not the real equation because it doesn't account for momentum. The second thing... Oh, there's our...
really burning out now.
Yeah. Someone also asked the question of... Let me get the full context of this question. So someone asked the question of the Higgs boson. I think I may have explained this before, but I'll explain it again. Is it the Higgs field we ascertain gives mass to the particle? Does it hold any promise to our possible future ability to affect mass and, by extension, attainable speeds? And this was entirely my explanation. I'll read it. Entire explanation.
The Chinook can lift 14 tons. And the space shuttle 73 tons.
So you'd need, and that would be 14 tons directly under it. And if you had to, so you need a bunch of it. You need yeah. more than just enough to put 70. You need a bunch.
Yeah, so you got
to
cut down a bunch of trees and Inglewood.
Yeah. So here you go. So this is my explanation to the Higgs thing. No. The Higgs mechanism is the explanation at this point for why W and Z particles have mass but photons don't. I'll explain a little bit more beyond my explanation here. The Higgs mechanism, as we understand it, accounts for spontaneous symmetry breaking of electroweak symmetry. This is a complicated word for saying that at the very beginning of the universe, the electromagnetic force and what we call the weak force were the same, exactly mm-hmm. the same. And so they used the same force particle, the same boson, to express their force. And as the universe cooled within, you know, hundred thousandths nanoseconds of when the Big Bang expanded, the spontaneous symmetry broke, and now you have these massive W and Z particles and these non-massive photons, which are aspects of the same force. And what we have with the Higgs mechanism is the explanation for why that takes place, why these W and Z are the same as photons but yet different aspects. So the current Higgs mechanism that we have, like I said, explains that, does not even account for lepton mass, your masses of your neutrinos and your electrons, doesn't account for quark mass, and let alone doesn't account for binding energy mass. This is the energy that combines the quarks into your hadrons, and this is what makes up 97% of your mass. So that isn't even explained at all by the Higgs mechanism. So this is, to be short, it's a step in our direction understanding mass. It'll help us going forward as we try to figure out more about mass, but it can't help us, it can't make us something massless any more than our increasingly strong understanding of quantum electrodynamics can help us make a chargeless electron. Electrons have charge, period. Massive particles have mass. Period. It's aspects of these things that cannot change. So you can't use understanding of the Higgs field to change mass anymore. You can use understanding of the electromagnetic field to change charge. It is there. And the guy thanked me for that explanation, so it worked.
Cool. Cool. Oh, I am a horrible co-host tonight. I have nothing to talk about.
Yeah, it hasn't been that long.
Yeah.
It's been only a couple
days. I gotta pee. What do you say we wrap this up?
Sure.
All right. Thanks for putting up with our drivel.
Have a good night, everybody.
And our Reddit explanations re-articulated on the post-show. Mm.